I mean, you've known this name, so many of you, for years. He's been part of your life. Merrill Pepcorn, state senator. He changed hats at one point and said, "You bet, I'll serve out in Bismarck." He ran and won. And you know what? He's running for governor of the great state of North Dakota, and he's in studio with us right now. Merrill, congratulations to you for making this race.
Good morning, Mr. Heitkamp. It is my pleasure to be here. Thank you for offering me this opportunity to meet the people of North Dakota.
You got no
reason. Okay, fine.
Yeah, that's not Merrill
Pepcorn.
That's
enough of that. That's enough of that.
All right. Tell people about yourself, the ones that might not know.
The office of the governor and being the governor of North Dakota is a serious position. It's an important position that people need to rely on somebody in that office to be there, you know, leading the state, making good decisions for them. But also, the campaign is serious business. A lot of people are putting a lot of time and money and energy. It's unbelievable what people have done up to this point. But you know what, Joel, you know about having some fun along the way. Mm-hmm. You got to have fun. You got to keep your spirits up. You have to be optimistic. And that's why I started the show like this today, just to show people that, yeah, we know it's serious business, very serious business, but we're going to have fun along the way too.
You know, the one thing that came through all your performances, and everyone knows that you're a performer. You're willing to grab that guitar and stand up in front of people and put smiles on people's faces as well. But the one thing that always came through about you, Merrill, is it in your work with PBS and elsewhere, is your love of the state. I mean, you truly love the state and love the people in it. And that comes across.
And I don't know where that really came from, Joel. I think I've just had that from the very beginning. You know, I was born out in a farm west and south of Stanley, North Dakota, which is Stanley is west of Minot, and between Minot and Williston on Highway 2, and moved to Fargo between third and fourth grade. And I think all that time, I mean, I've always been nostalgic about those early days in Western North Dakota and on the farm, and have never forgotten that. And as I grew older and progressed, I just kind of kept track of things. And I was always interested in state government. And then it turns out that my jobs, I've had direct sales jobs, kind of door-to-door sales jobs across the state. My work with Prairie Public Radio, doing interviews with people from all walks of life, from all corners of the state. That really prepared me well for this job. My work with the North Dakota Cowboy Hall of Fame in their early days, when they were just starting to form up, and getting to know about that ranching life and the Western way of life, and meeting the people who were in on the ground floor of that North Dakota Cowboy Hall of Fame. Similar thing. I could go on and on about that, but similar things like that have just opened my eyes to what's going on in North Dakota and allowed me to appreciate the variety of life, jobs, interests, occupations, and just appreciate it all. And it's been a blessing that I've just kind of absorbed it all. Mm-hmm. It's been fun.
I know a lot of people have been tugging at you for years to make this race. they have, you know, and I know one in particular that made a couple calls to you before to make this race as well. He's sitting right next to you. And, you know, what in the end pushed you. Yeah, that might have been me saying, Merrill, are you thinking about this? What do you think about it?
Yeah.
What made you decide in the end that the timing in your life was right to do this?
The time for North Dakota really is ripe right now, for at least, if not, hey, the time is right for me. It's the time for somebody like me. You know, I was looking at the list of Democratic governors. And, of course, here in North Dakota, I always point out we are the Democratic Nonpartisan League. We'll lecture about the Nonpartisan League another time. But that's what initially drew me, the interest in that Nonpartisan League back in the 19-teens is what drew me to the party. But we look at the history of governors, the Dem-NPL governors over the years, and there have been some fantastic names. Guy, Sinner, Art Link. But when's the last time that we've had a Dem-NPL governor? In 96, maybe, I think George Sinner was our last Democratic governor.
Yeah, I think he was done in 92.
Yeah,
I think
92. Yep. And the imbalance, well, I've been aware of the imbalance in state government for quite some time now. And so how can that change? You're not going to flip the legislature overnight. Although the way things are going in the Republican Party right now, who knows what might happen? Well, who knows what might happen over there? But that's what happened, wasn't it? When it's majority rule for so long, they're going to start being divisions in that. But having a Dem NPL governor will add a lot of balance in the state legislature, in the business of governing North Dakota. Number one, being a part of the Industrial Commission, that three-member Industrial Commission that makes so many and such important decisions for North Dakota. It's the Ag Commissioner, the Attorney General, and the Governor. And, you know, you've been talking about the Attorney General's office and the involvement there for quite some time now. But having another voice in that Industrial Commission and in the Governor's office will make those dealings that are going on there more transparent. Let's hold our feet to the fire. Let people know what's going on. That's one thing that'll make a difference. So I think we can make a difference by just being there and offering some transparency to the workings of government. And I think people will appreciate that.
See, and I do think that the people that I've spoke to as we've done this, you know, this podcast about capital punishment, and if there's one consistent message that people from both sides of the aisle and independents have come back to us on, is exactly what you just said. They want transparency. They want open records. They want to know what's going on, because they don't have time every day to monitor this process. But they do feel that at any point they should be able to find out what's going on in this process. And so I think you're right about that.
What have you been podcasting about capital punishment? Yeah,
just a couple of things.
I'm not a podcaster or listener, but I'm going to get tuned in. I'm going to participate in one later on.
I got to talk to Eric Johnson, who's to find out if episode 6, which we've completed, went out today. But I would suggest with all those miles you're going to put on.
There we go.
You listen to it, because believe me, you're going to have time.
We put on go ahead.
Yeah. In fact, Abby just gave me the heads up. It is up. Episode 6. Which I've been getting a lot of pressure on. Get that out. It is out. So if you go to KFGO.com, the home base of News and Views, in that upper right corner, you're going to see those podcasts. And there's 6 episodes now. The 6th one just went out this morning. Welcome back to the News and Views, our radio network. My window is small, so I'm going to get to it. Merrill Pepcorn running for governor in the great state of North Dakota. Do you have a website or a Facebook page up already?
No.
Okay, get to it. I'm sure you will. Let me know when you get there.
Well, I think I do have a Facebook page, but I couldn't tell you how to get there. I suppose just Google me and they'll find it.
They'll find it. All right, Merrill, I noticed that public education is one of the big standards that you're going to be working on and focusing on. I have to ask you this, because it's somewhat personal with a lot of people. Should public dollars be used to fund private schools?
Boy, I've got a long, long tradition of saying no to that. So that's my second no in a row to you.
Okay.
But there's always pressure. You know, in my first session, a young man from near my hometown area, my home area of there, Stanley, senator from up there, he's a super, super guy and a good senator, a good legislator, owns a business up there. He's not running again. But he introduced a bill to offer a $5,000 per pupil tax credit or some sort of money to homeschooled students.
Yeah.
You know, I go, that's not going to work, you know, right. And it didn't pass. It didn't get much favor. But, you know, just recently the legislature passed. Yeah. If you're going to make a $5,000 donation to a private school, you can get a tax credit on that. And, you know, I voted against that. I just think that, you know, there might be some holes in the argument, but I just believe, simply said, that public money should be used for public schools.
Boom. Yeah.
Simple as that.
The Republican Policy Committee just issued one of their policies that stated that it's just the opposite of what you said. Public school dollars should go to private schools. And I'm really glad to hear you answer the way you did.
One comment on that.
Yeah.
Here's the advantage of being a governor. If you believe in that public money for public schools and the legislature passes a bill that is contrary to that, and some of it could be grossly contrary to that, the governor has what in his hand? Here it is, a veto pen.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a close vote, you can go back. It just might not pass again with that supermajority. So that's an important tool for the governor to have as well.
I would agree. Also, the state is sitting on over $10 billion, you know, in surplus. And we're sitting here with higher than average, well, not higher than average, enormous property taxes. And people say, look, there's a difference. The local state need to have some level of control with property taxes. I get that. But could the state be reducing property taxes by funding education more, by making sure that the state's responsibilities go into things more so that you offset the need for property taxes?
First of all, I'm against the measure going around. I think they're still collecting signatures to eliminate property tax completely. Okay, I think most people agree we're not going to do this. Yes. Now, I do not know how to unlock the key to the treasure in the legacy fund. We're allowed to spend a certain amount of the interest, but I think most North Dakotans are in favor of doing things like you just suggested, perhaps beginning with property tax and education in particular. Now, I have to find out it would take quite an effort, I think, legislatively or from the public somehow, to be able to access some of that $10 billion in legacy fund money. What greater legacy can we have than, you know, what lies ahead for the future of our children and in education? And that means infrastructure, buildings. School buildings are not up to snuff, some of them, and they're being forced to improve their facilities and make them bigger, and they don't have the money to do it. And also then investing in teachers' salaries and things like that too. So, you know, let's figure out how to do that. I know people who can advise me on how to do that. We have to learn that in a way, and we'll learn it quick.
Well, if you look at it, the vast majority of the property tax dollars goes to public education.
It does.
So if it's going to public education and the state already has in its constitution
it does.
That 100% of education funding for K-12 education is going to come from the state, which they've never lived up to, then if you want to reduce property taxes, you give it to education.
Isn't that a fantastic goal, though, for the state to mm-hmm. provide for the public education for every student in the state? Mm-hmm. So we can help, as you just mentioned, live up to that. So
how do we find more workers for this state?
Well, I think one thing would be to relax on some of these social legislation bills that have come through in the past session in particular, and then we can expect more of them, too, when it comes to people of LGBTQ people. We don't have to single out discriminatory or bills towards those people or you know, kind of simply called book banning bills, and especially when it comes to women, reproductive rights bills. When a young woman is looking for a place to live, and this is the stuff that goes out over the national news, this is what they glom onto, and rightfully so. This is what they think about North Dakota. You think that's going to be on the top of their list? Oh, I'm going to go there because I'll have fewer choices over my personal decisions regarding my health care, including childbearing. So, you know, that's one thing. But just let's get rid of that stuff. We're not going to do much about the weather, but we can do something about good jobs. I think the business climate is kind of humming along pretty kind of okay. And we don't want to go in and overregulate business mm-hmm. because they're creating, you know, young entrepreneurs are creating jobs and new businesses, and it's exciting. But then we want to pay our workers as well.
So I think I read these to you off air, and I want to read these to you on air.
Yep.
I worked with Merrill Pepcorn years ago at KDLM in County 95. What a genuine down-to-earth gentleman, now living in North Dakota. He has my vote. You already have one vote already.
Yeah, now that's a person who came from Detroit Lakes, apparently into North Dakota, and can actually vote here.
There you go.
Yeah.
Another person who I don't believe can vote here, Broadwater Beach fondly remembers Merrill, a good guy and a great neighbor. Wish I could vote for him. There you go. He sure can donate to you.
Well, there you go. I have.
Right?
Yeah, I got a letter the other day, mailed to my old treasurer for my state Senate campaigns, Tracy Walvani. She got me into this thing, so I got to mention her name once in a while. It was from Dent, Minnesota. I can't remember the name on it. It was hard to read, but it contained $2 and said, go Merrill on a little note with it. I don't know who it was, But you know that, that little things like that are so encouraging to know that people want to see you in that position. They know me. They trust me. That's their decision. Yeah. I appreciate it.
And I know you've got to get somewhere else here, and I've got about 20 seconds left. But
so we'll be back.
You know what? That's what I was about to ask you. You know, we need more time. That we need to get you in here where people can call you and ask you. And so I look forward to that. Thank you for running. It's going to make for a great race.
Appreciate it. The timing is right. And we're excited. I've got wonderful people supporting me. And we're on our way.
Merrill Pepcorn, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about this race? We'll ask you when we come back.